my head. I can't help it. But the third chapter of Colossians is what the Lord's laid on her heart. And if you got your Bibles there, that's where we'll be. But, you know, if you've got a burden on your heart, right here is a place where it can be took care of. Ain't nothing too big and nothing too small that God ain't able to help with. And I'll tell you something else. If you're here and you've never been born again, never been saved, right here is a good time if He's dealing with your heart. You just come and use this altar as you see fit. But, you know, I hope and pray that everybody here is ready to go because, like I said earlier, don't know the time and I don't know the hour, but it's got to be soon, I believe. You know, they're looking for Him. You know, Paul and them was looking for Him, and he hadn't been gone no time. They're looking for Him, but we've been in the last days ever since. But I think we're in the very, very last part of the days now. But if you got your Bibles, we'll start in the first verse there, the third chapter of Colossians. It says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, conspicuous, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor circumcision, nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, nor bond, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye also are called in one body, and be thankful." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, as we come to you this morning, God, we'd just like to thank you for the day, God, and for another time, God, another opportunity that you've allowed us to be here, Lord, and to be in your house, God, and to worship your name in spirit and truth. And Lord, we do pray, Lord, and if there's one, God, that's got a burden here this morning, that just bring it down, Lord, and leave it at your feet. And God, we do pray most of all, Lord, if there's one that's lost and don't know you as their personal Savior, we just pray, Lord, that you'd convict their heart here this morning, God. And we do pray, Lord, that you just give us the liberty, God, that we need to stand and deliver your word. Lord, that you just anoint us, God, with the Holy Ghost from on high. Lord, we do pray, God, that you just have your will and way in this service. Lord, just go with us, lead and guide us in a way that's pleasing unto you. And we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen. As we go back here, it says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." And you know, I talked about it a little bit in Sunday school. It just seems like people's a seeking after all the old worldly things. Anything they can get their hands on is what they're seeking after. What their eyes see, what they think their heart wants, they'll just go out and get it. Go out and do whatever they want to do. But I thank God that when He saved my soul, He put a little something down in there. And it makes me long for a country that I'm going to one day. A heavenly country. I'm looking forward to that. And you know, I can't wait to get there. And one day, we just got to keep on keeping on. And we'll make it by faith eventually. But I thank God that I know that I'm going home one day. Know that I'm going to that heavenly land. How can you know that, Ethan? Because He done something to me when I was a little 9-year-old boy. He put her in my heart. He sealed her up. The Bible says, until the day of redemption, I can't lose what He give me. I'll not lose what He give me. But what He put in there one day is going to bust open and go home when He comes. Thank God that I'm going home. I can leave this old place behind. I don't feel at home down here no more. I sure don't. But you know, one day I'll be in a country where I'll feel at place, be in place, because I'll be right there with Him forevermore. And you know, heaven's going to be something, ain't it? Yeah, we talk, you can read a little bit about it. It's like a place that we can't imagine with this old mortal head. We can't see it with these old mortal eyes. It's going to be prettier than the prettiest palace that any king's ever built. But guess what? That's not what's important, is it? What's important is that Jesus Christ is going to be there. He's going to be the light of that city. I won't have to put the fire on up there because He'll be all we need. Thank God He's all that we need. He's all we need now, too. Sure enough is. People think you got to have this and they got to have that to make it. No, all you need is Jesus Christ in order to make it. He'll be a father. He'll be a mother. Bible says He'd even be close as a brother to you. If you ain't got nothing in this whole world, make sure that you got Him, because that's all you need. It says, set your affections on things above and not on the things of this earth. You know, I like certain stuff down here. Sure do. Like to do it. But I thank God that there's something down in my heart that knows that I'm going to like what heaven's got to offer too. I've done got a little piece of it in me. You know, a lot of people, they don't understand why you get up here and shout, why you get up here and sing the same old songs, but it's because of what He put in her heart, ain't it? That little portion of it that longs to be in that far country. And one day we're going home. Thank God that we are. But set our affections on the things above. You know, people put everything in the things down here, won't they? You know, that casino over in Cherokee, there's all kinds of Georgia tags comes right up out of that casino. And you look at it, it's a bunch of older people. And they'll go over there and try to gamble and they'll lose everything that they've got. Everything that they've ever saved up for. Why throw it away? But I thank God that what I've got, I'll not throw away. Can't throw it away. Why do you do the things that you do, Ethan? Because He's commanded us to, and because it's down in there to do it. You are in church this morning. Are you here because you just had to come? Or are you here because you wanted to come? There's a want to down in there. If you're a child of God that says, I've got to be here. Come for the right reason. Don't just come to come. I mean, that's a start, but when you get it in there where it ought to be, it'll bless you. Sure will. The third verse says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. You know, like I said before, don't fit in down here. You know why? Because I'm looking more forward to that over there. People don't understand it. Why don't they understand it? Because they don't have what I've got down in there. When Jesus Christ comes into your heart and into your life, you'll go to understanding His ways, won't you? You'll go to understanding what this book says about Him. You'll go to understanding more and more. Why? Because them old calluses have just been lifted off. People's in darkness down here, walking around blind. But until that light's shown to them, they don't know, do they? Like we said in Sunday school. But you know, we're dead down here. We're dead down here. What does that mean? That means I died out, that old man. When I got saved, there's a new creature made, wasn't it? That old man's supposed to die off. But how many times do we resurrect that old man? We ought not to. We ought to leave him alone. Leave him dead and be the new man, seeking after the things of Christ. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. And that's the time that I'm looking forward to. I don't know about you, but it wouldn't bother me one little bit if He come back today. Because I'm looking for that. And when He steps out on them eastern skies, I'm going home just like that. It ain't going to take me no 10 minutes to pack up. It'll be just as a twinkling of an eye. Because I don't have to have nothing. What I've got's done ready to go. Ain't got to pack for nothing. Sure don't. Ready to go right then. But when He appears, we'll be with Him. Just like that. You know, I think of the ones that's done gone on. We've been talking about some of them. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They're not laid out there in the cemetery. Yeah, their body might be. If you was to go out there and get your shovel and dig them up, I wouldn't want to see what they look like, but that's all that's there, ain't it? Their soul is already in heaven, awaiting on the rest of us to get there. And we'll have us a reunion one day.
that'll be like no other. You just had a homecoming, didn't you? But it's going to be a homecoming, right? We'll never part ways, and we'll be at home forevermore. Thank God.
Can't imagine that now, can you? I can't imagine what eternity's going to be like. But one day I'll be at peace. I'll be at rest for an eternity. There ain't no end to that, folks. You know, somebody told me one time, you think about it this way. If an old seagull was to start over here on the East Coast and pick it up a grain of sand and carry it all the way to the West Coast and move every little bit of sand from here to there, it's longer than that. Can't imagine that, can we? But I thank God what I've got waiting for me. How do I have that? Because I accepted a free gift. Yeah. It was a free gift. Amen. Bible says, for whosoever will, too. If you're born into this world, it don't matter if you're white. It don't matter if you're black. It don't matter if you're yellow or red. You can be saved.
Yeah.
Go to the same heaven that I'm going to. You know, the world starts that old racist junk. World keeps that a-thumping. That Bible right there ain't got a racist thing in it. The Christian people ought not have a racist thing in them. If they live by that book right there, they won't. But you know, the world wants to make us out to be the enemy, don't they? Why? I believe it's because deep down they truly know that we're 100% right.
Amen.
You don't see them giving the Muslims a hard time. You don't see them giving the Buddhists a hard time. No, they give the true religion a hard time. That ought to show people what the true religion is. It's Christianity. Anyhow, don't know how I got off on all that, but there you go. The fifth verse says, to mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, and an affection, evil, conspicuous, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, I told you just a second ago about a new creature being born. When Christ saved my soul, I become a new creature. Should have. We should have. If you didn't, you better go to check it out. But you know, we've got to mortify the old man, don't we? That's that put to death part. Put that old man off and live in that new way, that new promise, that new covenant. Live in the way that God wants you to live in. It says, for which thing's sake the children or the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. You know, one day, and I don't believe we'll go through it, but there's going to be a tribulation upon the earth. I believe we'll done be gone before all that sets in. Because He ain't going to make us go through it. But you know, if you don't accept Jesus Christ and He comes back, and you're sitting in this church building today, and you don't accept Him, you're doomed already because you've heard the preached Word of God, and you're doomed yourself if you don't accept it. People say, I don't think God will send me to hell. He don't. You send yourself there, don't you? You sure do. But there's a coming a time that His wrath's going to come out. Just like I told you a minute ago in Sunday school. These churches are buildings. They don't tell you all this other stuff. They just tell you God is love, and God is this, and God is that. But He's also a God of wrath. They leave that part out. But you know, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's a payment to be made. The Bible says that the only sin that can't be forgiven is a blaspheming the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? That means a turning Him away when He comes to dealing with your heart. That's what sends you to hell. Sure enough is. But you better know that you know, because His wrath's a coming. Like I've done told you, people's got it in their minds nowadays. Well, yeah, I believe there's a God. You ask anybody, they'll tell you that. You ask them about salvation, they'll look at you like you got three heads. They don't know it. And it blows my mind, the people that's supposed to be in this Bible Belt that ain't never heard the plan of salvation, that's went to a church all their life. What good was it if they didn't tell them about Jesus Christ? It wasn't worth nothing. There's a whole lot of them out there, folks. That's why it's important for us to be living a Christian life. Every day, putting on our best every day. And I've said this many a time because it helps me. And I figured if it helps me, I ought to tell you. Hopefully it can help you. You get up every morning, you're in a battle. Every day that we live, we're in a battle between the spirit and the flesh. And if we get up in the morning and go to seeking Jesus and God right off the bat, it'll help our day go by a whole lot cleaner. When we keep Jesus Christ on our mind, the old devil ain't got room to come in there, does he? What does the Bible say about idle time? It's of the devil. When we're sitting around not doing nothing, that's when the devil goes to creeping in. You sit there with nothing to do for 5 minutes and see where your mind goes. That's just the truth. It sure enough is. But the seventh verse said, in which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. Yeah, before we were saved, we didn't know no better, did we? Sure didn't. I mean, I'm sure we knowed a little bit of right from wrong. We had good mamas and daddies to teach us that. But it didn't convict us, did it? But then after we're saved, I believe the Holy Ghost convicts you when you know that you're wrong. And I tell you something else, a whole lot of times we know that it's wrong before we even do it, don't we? Sure do. But you know which time you walked in there. The eighth verse, but now you also put off all these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Now, I don't know about you, but that last one affects me a whole lot. If I'm out of working or something, I mash my finger in a plow handle or something, I say something that ought not to. Thank God that there ain't a whole bunch around to hear it. I told Mark that here a while back. I said, boy, I was plowing them mules, and they made me mad, and I called them something. He said, at least there wasn't nobody around to hear you. But, you know, I'm a preacher, and I still sin. I ain't above nothing. Amen. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, the same as you. But you know, when we fail, the Bible talks about having an advocate that we can turn to. Just like I told you about old David. He committed murder. He committed adultery. If you name it, he done it. But you know what? He knowed who his advocate was. He got himself in sackcloth and ashes, and he come back and said, God, forgive me. Amen. But now I'll tell you something about that God, forgive me. Can't just do it today and say, God, forgive me, and turn around and do it tomorrow. We can't do it like that. True repentance. Sorry for what we've done, but that filthy communication, that'll hurt us. And you know the Bible talk, we think, we try to list sin, I guess you'd say, like, oh, that word, that's above this, and you know, and that sin, the fornication, it's above this, and homosexual, it ain't. Sin is sin. Amen. And what does the Bible say over there? I think it's in the Old Testament somewhere, about the little foxes is the one that spoiled the vineyard. Them little things that we don't think's a whole lot is what's doing a whole lot of damage. And I tell you something, being a Christian, we've got to watch our P's and Q's at all times. Talked about, well, your family's the hardest it is to witness to. And that's sure enough is. Because they know us inside and out, don't they? But we've got to put on our best at all times. Because I tell you something, we've got a testimony. And we cannot lose our testimony. If we lose our testimony, we ain't got nothing. People ain't got no confidence in what we say. People ain't going to listen to us when we tell them about Jesus Christ because they don't believe it. They're hypocrites, yeah. We ought not ever be a stumbling block to somebody. And that worries me to death all the time about doing wrong in front of somebody. That's why we got to try. Now, we're going to fail. Ain't nobody perfect. The only perfect man, he's done at home. But, you know, we're going to fail. But we ought to strive to do our best daily. Why? Because it's good for us, and it's good for them that's a-watching, too. Sure enough is. I don't even know where I got to. The ninth verse says, lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Kendra, she gets on to me a whole lot. She'll call me and say, where are you at? I'll say, well, I'm passing the bank, or I'm coming through by the Brinkley Farm, and I won't. I'll be 5 minutes from there, but I'll tell her that's where I'm at. She said, why do you lie to me? Like I said, well, I'll be there in just a second. You know, but lie not to one another. It says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Got to put that new man on every day. Every day that we get up, know in our heart and in our mind that we're going to try our best to serve God. You mean serve God on the job? Yeah. Yeah, that's where it matters at, ain't it? Now, we're all like-minded in here, ain't we? If we wasn't, you'd say, sit down and go. Do you agree with what I'm saying a little bit? But out there is where we're different. And out there is where we got to let our little light shine, ain't it? All the time. Don't ever let your light not shine. It just because it's Sunday morning, put that best person on Sunday morning, come in here and get your little flower watered a little bit, and carry it on out through the week with you. That's what it takes. The 11th verse says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. And that's what I say. They ain't nobody that Christ turned away. You know, you can read back through there in them Gospels where it talks about the miracles that He done. Everybody that ever come to Him, He didn't ever tell them no, did He? All you got to do is call on the name of God, name of Jesus Christ, and He'll not in no wise turn you away. Don't matter if you're white, black, brown, He's God of all, ain't He? And one of these days, He's going to be recognized as the King of kings and the Lord of lords of every nation and every tongue. And I don't care what they've said about Him down here. One day, they'll have to fall on their face and say, "You are who you are." Better do it now versus later. Because when that later comes, you've done doomed. It says, now listen here, Christians. 12th verse, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. That's what we've got to put on as Christians. That's what we've got to show other people. Is all that right there, mercy. How many times when somebody makes you mad? Now, people make you plumb mad. I can get plumb mad, but it takes a whole lot. But when I'm there, I'm there. But, you know, I'm sure that I've made God that way, too. What did He do for me? Forgive me of it. He sure enough did. Kindness. We ought to show everybody kindness. You know, just like that Good Samaritan. You know, Samaritans wasn't nothing to them Jews. But the Good Samaritan showed kindness. Had an effect on him, didn't it? Sure enough did. Long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And you know, I know people that they've gotten a quarrel way back, way before I was born, and they're still in it about it. Why? What good is it? It ain't. Sure ain't. You ought to forgive one another. What does the Bible say? If you got aught against your brother, go to him and talk about it. But people have left that, just one little old thing. And you know, that's what the devil likes, is just one little old opening, ain't it? He'll get her in there, and then she'll go to fester, and before you know it, it's a big open wound, ain't it? But why? Why do we do that? We ought to love one another. Forgive one another. And the 14th verse says, and above all things, put on charity. What does charity mean? Charity is love. Period. And I tell you something else. If you ain't got God in your heart and in your life, you can't understand what true love is. You'll never understand love until God saves your soul and puts that in there. But we've got to show that to all men. Show that love one to another. One to our brothers and sisters in Christ. It don't matter if you belong to Heady Mountain Church or show that love to Yellow Mountain Church or to show it to Pine Creek Church. And if there's a church overseas somewhere, it ought to be the same. We ought to love everybody. Because I tell you what, I think about this sometimes. Yeah, we don't go along with like some of the Methodist stuff or some of the Church of God stuff. But I tell you what, if they're saved, they're going to be in the same place I am. There ain't but one church. What does it say? One body, one spirit. We got to get along with them. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How do you do that? You turn your life over to Christ. Everything about your life, you turn over to Christ. Let Him lead and guide everything that we do. Put Christ in the front, and everything else falls right into place. That's how we got to live our life that way. It says, to the which also you are called. Here we go. In one body, and be ye thankful. You know, you can get over in several different places and read about the body of Christ. You know, I mean, you got preachers, you've got deacons, you've got teachers, and then you've got little old women that sit there and pray, and they hold the whole service together, I can promise you that. The little old women that sit there, and you never hear a word out of them, but they're praying right in here, they hold the whole service together. We need more of them. Sure enough, too. They're dying out, but where's the younger generation to come in and take their place? But you know, we're all one body. And all have different members. I mean, what does the Bible say about it? If they says, I don't need the hand and cuts it off, what good is it? But you know, the head of the body is who? Jesus Christ. And that head's what controls the rest of it. Yeah. No, we all can't be a hand or we all can't be a foot, but we're part of that body. That one body. And it says, be ye thankful. The 16th verse says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, and hymns and spiritual songs. What is that 16th verse talking about? That 16th verse is exactly what we're doing right now. Assembling ourselves together, worshiping Him in song and praises and everything. What does the Bible say about that? It says not to forsake assembling yourselves together as a matter of something. And then it says, all the more as you see the day approaching. But yet look around. I know for a fact that you know people that used to be in this church that just don't come anymore. It's that way at Trap Creek. Sure enough is. I mean, there ain't no excuse for the benches not to be full. And the Bible says, all the more as you see the day approaching. But what did we talk about earlier? People's got their hearts on the things of the world. Their affections set on the things of the world. And I mean, some of them, it makes you wonder, but I've been in church service with them and heard their testimony and their spirit-bired witness. Hey, my spirit-bired witness with them, I know that they got to be saved. But they're just out of living any way they want to. That's the most dangerous place you can be in. Because I tell you what, you know, I think of it this way. If you've got a bunch of cattle and one of them acts up and gets out of the fence all the time, you're going to take that and on to the house, ain't you? And that don't mean you lose your salvation, but you don't think he'll take you out of here being a stumbling block and stuff like that? Look at what he done to the children of Israel. What? How many? Thousands of them fell in one day, wasn't it? Because they was doing contrary to his word. But we got to come. We've got to keep coming to church. Got to keep coming. I don't care if you sing the same three songs every Sunday. It's worth it. It sure enough is. Just keep on and keeping on. Singing them in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with what? Grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, the prettiest singer that could beller the prettiest he'd ever note just right could get up here and sing, and if it wasn't out of their heart, wouldn't be fit for nothing, would it? When you come, come and let it come from your heart. And I could tell that it was coming from some hearts this morning. That's good. Keep it like that. And the 17th verse says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Why? You know, it ain't nothing. If I get up here and preach, it ain't about me. I don't know why I preach the style that I preach in. That's just the way it comes out. But you know, it ain't about me. It ain't about you. I don't care if you like it or not. What matters is that I'm doing what God says. Yeah. People try to please people way too much, and that's why we're in the shape that we're in now. But anything you do, do it for the Lord. God gives you something to do, do it with the best of your ability to Him. God puts a song on your heart, get up and sing it. Do all for the Lord. You know why? Because He gave it all for me and you one day on Calvary. And that's what the Lord put on my heart. It might have been short and scattered around, but I'll ask the woman there to come and play a song right quick, and we'll give it. I don't never want to leave without giving an invitation, because I don't know your heart or your life, and I don't have to know. Sure don't. That's between you and God. But if she plays a little verse or two of a song, I ask you to stand. And if the Lord's